Our Old Testament reading tonight is taken from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, beginning at the second verse, and it's found on page 779 in the Pew Bibles. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the sons of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labour has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treats in our places, palaces, then we will rise against him, even 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. And our New Testament reading is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke and can be found on page 857 in the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, for that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, in whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd said. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, and as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray briefly together. Father, on this quiet and special evening, we ask you that as we think again about the Christmas story familiar to so many of us, we pray that the wonder of it and the joy of it may fill our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. You might like to turn with me to the beginning of Luke's Gospel, which you will find on page 855 and 857 of the Pew Bibles. Dr. Luke, when he's recording his thorough and wonderful gospel record of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, points out something to us at the very beginning of his gospel that struck me again, actually struck me for the very first time this year. Each year I ask God to show me something new for me about the Christmas story. And this was what struck me for the very first time. When Luke is telling the story, he makes a distinction between joy and great joy. So as he tells the Christmas story, he says on the one hand there's joy, but on the other hand there's great joy. And of course that distinction is just as true for us today. We're told, aren't we, in the song that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time. I won't sing it to you, so don't worry. It's the most wonderful time of the year. The kids jingle belling and everyone telling to be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And it talks about families gathering and so on. I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. It's wonderful. My wife and I went down to Hollywood Road the other day and saw all the lights. Fantastic street, isn't it? And gathers a lot of money for charity. But it looks wonderful. And then we went on, I went with my wife shopping to Tesco's. Oh, maybe I shouldn't mention one particular store. But anyway, went to a supermarket. That's not my favorite occupation. But actually, the foodstuffs and everything that is available is wonderful. I don't know about you, but I love all the festivities. And some of them have roots, some of the things that we take for granted have roots in a Christian understanding of Christmas. For example, it was probably Martin Luther, the great reformer 500 years ago, who decided to tie candles on Christmas trees. It can't have been all that safe, but he did it because he wanted to point beyond the celebration of the middle of winter to Jesus coming as the light of the world. And behind the commercialization of Santa is the story about Saint Nicholas, a great Christian elderly saint who fed the poor at Christmas time. But it's great, isn't it? The colors, the lights, the food, the festivities, families coming home. And I know that for some at Christmas time, it's sad. Maybe if they've lost a loved one the year before. And maybe for some it's difficult with in-laws who have become outlaws or whatever it may be at Christmas time. But there's more than enough joy, isn't there, around at Christmas time. Even there is an attempt at goodwill, even if it isn't always consistently applied. I love Christmas time, and I'm sure most of us do too. And it brings, doesn't it, in the middle of winter in grey, mainly grey, although it's supposed to be very sunny tomorrow, grey and dull days and cold days and the shortest days, it brings joy. But Luke wants us to understand that there's much more to Christmas. That's great. That's enjoyable. But it's interesting that when he gets to tell us about the birth of Jesus Christ, he says, he records for us the words of the angels to the shepherds who said, chapter 2, verse 10, the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Do you know the word originally is mega joy? And Luke says, I want you to not only just have joy at Christmas, but I want you to have mega joy. And much more importantly, God wants us to have mega joy. And what is the reason for that joy? Well, the first thing we should notice is what the angel said to the shepherds and who it was he was talking to. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day. We glamorize shepherds, don't we? In pictures, but in 2,000 years ago, being a shepherd on a cold night looking after the sheep was the job that nobody else wanted to do. Shepherds were generally poor and marginalized. And isn't it interesting that the Son of God, who could have stayed in heaven without blame, announces his coming by the angels to the poor and marginalized and identifies with them, being born and placed in a cattle trough. Why? Because God is not just interested in the rich and famous. It's good news for everybody. Christmas is wonderful, mega news, and the source of mega joy for everybody, rich, poor, and in between. Sad, lonely, happy, whatever. It's still mega joy. And why in particular is it mega joy? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of mega joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God had planned and promised years ago, 1,000 years before, to David, the greatest king of the Old Testament, that one day one of David's successors would establish a kingdom that would not fail and would last forever. And when this descendant of David would come, God personally would visit his people. And God would establish a kingdom which was everlasting, wouldn't come and go like earthly kingdoms and rise and fall, but would be an everlasting kingdom. And here the shepherds are told that Jesus being born, he comes as a king. His other name is Christ, which means an anointed king. He comes as a king to establish a kingdom. And you and I can enter that by faith as we welcome him and trust him as our Savior and Lord, and have a passport into that kingdom, which one day will be established, a kingdom of peace and of justice. But he comes also as a Savior. He comes not only as a king and successor to David, in whom, when he comes, God is actually personally visiting his people, as we'll see in a moment, but he comes as a Savior to rescue. Can we not surely face up to the reality of a fallen world, of the sadness of the news and the mess of the world? And if we're honest, when we think about what we do and say and think wrong, that we wouldn't always like our nearest and dearest to know about, our hearts are simply a microcosm of the sin of the world. We need forgiveness, and if we're to have a restored relationship with God, he needs to help us. He needs to come and bring forgiveness and restore that relationship, for it's beyond our ability to do it. And so Jesus comes not only as a king, but a king lowly, coming down to our level, and a king coming in his power and love to rescue us from judgment upon our sin. And he comes as, thirdly, as the Lord. One of the most wonderful names of the Lord Jesus is the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. John the Baptist's father, writing a kind of hymn of praise about all this, says, "It was through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise will visit us from on high." It's a lovely picture. He describes the Christmas event as a result of the tender mercy of God, coming like a sunrise on a dark night. I wonder what you think God is like, but let me tell you, the Christmas story tells us that God is full of tender mercy, who cares about you, who loves you, who sent his Son to forgive you and rescue you and restore a relationship between you and God, who comes as a king to offer us entrance into his eternal kingdom, to give us hope in life and beyond life in death itself. And he comes as Lord to be with us in the uncertainties of the new year, in the joys and sorrows. You see, says Luke, who had experienced this himself, when you welcome Jesus into your heart and your life, and you make room for him, yes, enjoy all the festivities and the family and the fun. It's great. Even when, like me tonight, I was beaten 3 times at Monopoly. It's great fun, isn't it? All the festivities. Enjoy it all. But actually, if you want mega joy that lasts into New Year and change your life every year and give you a hope of heaven, you need to welcome this wonderful Savior, who in the tender mercy of our God, God is not far away. God is not distant or removed from us. God has stepped into the human lot. God has stepped into our world. And God has come in the person of his Son, our Savior, to rescue us, to love us, to be our friend, to be with us, and to be the guiding star of our lives, to be our Lord. The question is, what joy are you going to have this Christmas? Is it going to be joy or mega joy? I pray that you may have that mega joy that only comes to those who welcome the Lord Jesus and know his love and presence with them in every day of every year. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you want us to have this tremendous joy that was announced to the shepherds of old. May we make room in our hearts and our busy lives for the Lord of glory, the Son of God and the Saviour of the world, because we ask it in his name. Amen.